You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
What a great day to be in the house of God. Amen. 2 days from Election Day, this is the place to be. Man has a plan, but God has a plan. Amen? And you know what? That's the greatest thing that can be said is, you know what? We can come up with our greatest plans, but the greatest thing that we can acknowledge and can give us peace in whatever season that we're in is the fact that God has a plan. Turn to somebody and say, God has a plan. I want you to remember that. I do want you to go out and vote because it is our responsibility as Christians to represent the Christian values at the voting, at the polls. Amen? So I do encourage you to vote. Even if it's difficult, even if you have to grapple with some things, pray about it and vote. Pray about it and vote. But no, at the end of the day, God is in control. Whoever we end up with on Wednesday morning, God is in control. I heard someone say this last night. Said, regardless of who is in the Oval Office, God is still in charge of the universe. Amen? Amen? So I'm encouraged by that. And God has a plan for our nation. And Tuesday, someone is going to win the election. And we will be faced with a completely different challenge in America. And that is the challenge of coming together. That is the challenge of being unified. After everything that's been said and everything that's been done, I want to talk to you about this very important topic that the Lord laid on my spirit, and I call it Come Unity. Come Unity. What our nation needs and what we need here locally is unity. We have divided times, divisive times, and I believe God has a solution to that. In this concept of come unity. And this is the scripture that I've really been meditating on today. And I'm going to pray first, but then I'm going to dive right into this. And I know this is just, it's a word for us right now. So will you bow your heads with me? God, I thank you, Father, for God, your word that brings, it brings light to every circumstance, and it brings peace to every circumstance. And Lord, I thank you, Father, that as we look at your word and we listen to your spirit, that God, you will make our path straight. You will, God, give us revelation, not just information today, but give us revelation in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. So here's this scripture that I've really been just stuck on this week in my spirit. It's Psalm 133, 1. And it simply says this, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Can I say it again? How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. So no matter who wins this election or who wins any election, there's something powerful about coming together. There's something powerful about unifying, even though we might come from different perspectives, we might see things differently. Can we be unified? Can we have come unity? Never underestimate the power of coming together. Good, bad, or other, our nation has to find a way to come together. We, as a people, locally, in our city, in our cities, we have to find a way to come together. Can we live together? Can we work together? Can we love each other? You know, Jesus did this crazy thing when he showed up. He He told us that we need to love people that are different from us. Isn't that crazy? He told us that we need to love outcasts. That we need to love our enemies. That we need to love and care for the unfortunate. Jesus told us and he showed us. He exemplified this. But I think oftentimes the problem that we have with loving is that we're afraid. We're worried. We have concerns, and those concerns drown out our love for the people that are in our lives and in our path that we should be expressing the love of God to. And this is what happens. You know, we get worried, and that's no way for us to live because worry drains the life out of life. Worry will drain the life out of life. And to tell you the truth, that's not what Jesus had for us. Jesus wants us to be free. What does the scripture say? Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Well, Jesus wants us to be free from worry, free from these fears and concerns, and free to love on people and really live life and experience the beauty of the relationships that God has placed in our path. He wants us to cast away fear and worry and grab a hold of life. This is what Philippians 4 and 6 says. Because this is so key, because I see so much concern when I look on Facebook, when I look and I talk to people, a lot of people are very concerned. A lot of people are worried. Let me take you to this place in Philippians 4. It says clearly, I love this, don't worry about anything. If that can be a word to you right now, that is the word. That's what God is saying to his church, to his people, to his children. He's saying, don't worry about anything. There's another passage of scripture that says worry doesn't add anything to you. It doesn't add a day to your life. It doesn't add life. It's not going to make you healthier. Actually, it takes away from you. So don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Here's such a critical thing that if we get a hold of, you know, we should be prayers instead of worriers. Intercessors instead of worriers. I'm so delighted every time that I get together with our prayer team. And if you don't know how to pray, if you're figuring out how to pray, listen, you need to brush shoulders with some of these people, because it's some of the greatest experience is not just praying for yourself, it's praying for others. And this is what this scripture is talking about. Pray about everything. It's talking about praying for more than just yourself. That would be limited. It doesn't say don't worry about anything except pray for yourself and your family. No, it says pray about everything. So that means not just yourself. You're getting into this concept of intercession. I'm praying for you. You're praying for me. I'm praying for the church. We're praying for our city. We're praying for our nation. We're praying about everything. So we're saying, look, I'm making a decision. I'm not going to worry. Instead, I'm going to pray. Because watch, prayer changes things. Worry does not change anything. Complaining does not change anything. Prayer changes things. So instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience, watch this, God's peace. I want you to think about this. As you begin to step away from worry and concern and step into a life of prayerful expectation, God is going to take this big heavenly bucket of peace and pour over your life. He's going to saturate your life with peace. How many wants his peace? His peace is so beautiful. And so God says, I'm going to pour out my peace, which exceeds, this is so good right here. Get a hold of this. It will exceed anything you can understand. So that means even when things are complicated in your life, even when things are, you should be worried about them, guess what? You're going to have a peace that just sits in your spirit, and it's going to exceed what's going on in your mind. The peace that's inside of you by the Holy Spirit is going to compensate for anything that you're worried about in your mind. this peace. So, and also, listen to this. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So now as I'm walking in Christ Jesus, guess what? This peace is not only going to exceed my expectations, exceed what I could think about, it's going to also guard my heart and my thought process. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. I believe the life of a Christian is not to be in the dark about what's going on in the world. I'm aware of the problems that are in the world, but I have decided to fix my focus on things that are pure, things that are admirable, things that are lovely, things that are beautiful, things that are the God things. I'm focusing my attention on God. I've acknowledged the problem. I know it's there. But I have focused my attention on God, because guess what? The solution doesn't come from the problem. The solution comes from the Lord. So if I focus on God and I'm in God's presence and I'm dwelling on these things, I've fixed my mind on what's lovely, what's beautiful. Guess what? Out of the essence of his presence, I'm grabbing a solution while I'm in his presence and I'm bringing it into my problems. Personally, locally, nationally, we have a solution to bring when we have been dwelling not on the worry, but on God. Don't worry about your heart. You know, when we focus on God, God guards your heart. When we're focused on him, guess what? There's going to be less heartbreak. There's going to be more healing. There's going to be less worry, right? If he's guarding your mind. There's going to be less frustration because you're walking in his peace. So this is so beautiful. Sometimes I found you don't even really have a value for peace or an understanding for peace that's robust until you've been through something, right? You try to explain the concept of peace to a little child, they don't understand peace. But you say peace to somebody that's been busy, that's been worried, that's been frustrated, that's had some chaotic stuff going on, and they have a value and an understanding of what peace is. So I say that to say God wants to give us peace, but oftentimes God teaches us peace by letting us see the hurricane. They say that the eye of the hurricane is such a place of peace. It's almost like out of this world, like a strange, you know, beyond natural type of peace that is inside the hurricane. Well, I'll tell you this. Peace is not the absence of a storm. It's a spiritual quality that is inside of you and can be called upon when you need it. Peace is not the absence of a storm. Jesus, he was asleep in the boat during a storm. I'm sure water was splashing on him. It was not a sophisticated, really, you know, big boat. It was probably an open vessel where he's sitting out on the front there. But the disciples, they're veteran fishermen. They know these waters, and they're frightened. They're worried. They're concerned. But Jesus, in the middle of the storm, he is at peace. He is at rest. Why? Because peace is not the absence of a storm. It is an inward quality. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. And you have to have peace to live in community with others. Can you imagine trying to live in community with somebody and there's no peace? There's an absence of peace? Well, what happens when there's an absence of peace? Well, there's turmoil, there's disagreements, there's misunderstandings. People are getting upset, people are getting frustrated with one another, and that's only the beginning. But when we have peace, it's so important, because when you're in community, some people that see things different than you will take you to the edge, right? You'll get frustrated, right? So we have to have peace to live in community. Isaiah 26:3 says this. You will keep in perfect peace, talking about God, all who trust in you, whose thoughts, here again, whose thoughts are fixed on you. So as we're fixed, our thoughts are fixed, God's going to keep us in peace. And this is very important, because in the midst of a transition for our nation, it's important for us as believers and us as the church to be at peace. We're not, on Wednesday, we're not throwing a big temper tantrum on Facebook, right? We're not having a rant session, right? We're setting an example that our trust and our thoughts are fixed on God. An elected official is not the author and finisher of our faith, right? All right? We have set our mind, we have fixed our focus on Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And God can work with anybody. God can work with anybody. God can work with anybody, right? God's people, as his people, we talked about a few weeks back ago, when we get together in unity and pray, powerful things can happen, right? 2 Chronicles 7:14, there's incredible scripture we talked about, and it really comes out of Solomon praying for his nation. Solomon was praying for his nation. So he's praying to God, and God in his response gives us this. He said, look, if you mess up, if you get in a mess and the nation is in chaos and everything's falling apart, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. That's the backdrop. God says, I hear your prayer over the nation, Solomon. And this is what I say back to you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But if you get messed up, if you get off course as a nation, if you're doing the wrong things, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and what? Pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked. Stop doing the other stuff that you've been doing. Turn and pray. I will hear from heaven, and we talked about that 2 weeks ago, that I will send a judgment down from heaven to heal your land. As a physician, I will heal and restore your land. God's people, let me tell you that I'm going to give you a little secret today. God's people are more powerful than any government. God's people are the ones that he said, look, I've called you to rule and reign. And so if we unify, you know, it's a simple thing. I heard Andrew Womack say this, that the easy solution is this. Let's just go out there and get people saved. You get enough people saved. Guess what people put in office, what type of people? Put other saved people in office. The answer is this. If people are unified, if the people ever unify, politicians line up to do what the people demand, to do what the people ask. That's what happened with the Berlin Wall. That's what happened with the civil rights movement. Guess what? People got together, got unified, and the politicians met the demands of the people. Because there is a power in unity. Say it with me. There is a power in unity. And that's what this whole series is about. I'm not just talking about it today. It's something that we have to stay on, and we have to let it get into our hearts and our minds. We're saying, come, unity. There's a story in Genesis 11. Many of you know it. Ancient Babylonia. People are unified. They said, hey, we're going to build a big building, a skyscraper. We're going to come together. We've got one vision, one language. And we are going to build something the world will marvel at. And God said this about their unity. He said, nothing they say out to do will be impossible for them. God said, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Can I say that to us as a church? Can I say that to us as a nation? Can I say that to us locally? If we are unified, even if the Christians were in the minority, which we're not in the minority, but if we get together, there is nothing that will be impossible for us to do and accomplish in our nation. Not many things are stronger than unity. Listen to this concept that the founding fathers had. This was their vision. Listen. One nation, under God, indivisible. How powerful is that? One nation, under God, indivisible. And I say it a different way. A unified nation, following after God, unable to be divided. It's said twice. It said a unified nation, following God, unable to be divided. That is the original vision. That's part of the original vision for what America was supposed to be. If we were unified, what could we accomplish? You know, we talk about unemployment rates now. Let me tell you, we could have 100% employment. If the nation was unified, we could eradicate poverty. We could have equality and love. You know, we talk about it. But unity can fix that. Unity. What can we do on a local level if we as the church work together to impact our city? What can we do? Can you imagine? I mean, just realistically, crime rates down, right? People getting homes, people, first-time homeowners going up, families getting stronger. These are not far-off goals. Why? Because unity is powerful. When God's people, called by His name, get together, humble themselves, pray, turn from the stuff that was holding them back, guess what? God is going to open up the windows of heaven. He is going to heal. He's going to restore the land. What type of community do you want to build? What type of community do you want to build? In ancient Babylonia, they had a vision. They were united, but it was about their own greatness. What about a community of loving God and loving people? What about a community that gives hope back to people and helps people have stronger families? What about a community that's founded on the principles of Galatians 5:23, the fruits of the Spirit? Because I believe that community is powerful. Now, the enemy is always trying to get us divided against each other because he's afraid of what can happen in community. He's afraid because if God is saying nothing is impossible to the unified people, guess what? The devil doesn't stand a chance against unity. His only plan is disunity, discord, and division. A community is powerful. A community is both diverse and similar. A community shares a common set of values. Many times a community is comprised of people from different backgrounds with different stories. But that's what makes it robust and healthy and alive are these unique differences. It adds value to community. But watch this. What keeps a community cohesive? And where our nation started to lose its cohesiveness is, watch this, a community needs unity on core values. Core values. That's what makes us beautiful as a community. We have diverse perspectives, but we have certain core values that we all say, hey, these things are not up for discussion. These things we hold true. Amen? We have a community here at Hope. Let me ask you a question as we're about to wrap things up. What can we do? What can we do as a community? Who can we bless? How can we bring unity? Let me tell you something. Wednesday, somebody's going to be upset. Somebody's going to be happy, but somebody else is going to be upset. A lot of Americans are going to be looking for what you have inside of you, or what you need to have inside of you, which is peace and unity. And you and I need to say, and we need to pray, come unity. Come unity. In New York, Jeremiah Loftner, he was a businessman turned preacher. And he decided, they gave him this church that was in decline. The general state of the church was in decline. New York City, 1857. America needed prayer. Some of the railroads were going bankrupt. Banks were going out of business. Factories were closing. We were on the verge of civil war. And he said, you know what? Let's have a prayer at noontime. Noontime prayer for business people. Not for pastors, not for preachers, for business people. And you don't even have to come for the whole thing. If you can just make it for 5-10 minutes. I understand everybody has a busy schedule. And let me tell you something. When people begin to get together in unity, this was called the Third Great Awakening in America. Out of just praying for an hour, saying, hey, can we just pray at noontime? Just take your lunch break and let's pray. And out of that, God added to. They had to move from one location to another location. They were at one time, they had to do it on 3 different floors in the same building. It spread to different other cities. 1 million people gave their life to Christ. And that's when the population was 30 million. 1 out of 30 people were saved. And that's just the new converts. That's not counting people that were previously saved. What can we do if we're unified? Sometimes it's not something that's crazy and wild and out. It's just a simple act of obedience and unity. Last year, Bishop was telling me that 2,000 churches in Argentina got together, and they decided to pray and then go out and pray for people. They prayed together and they prayed for people, and they prayed for 20 million people. Because 2,000 churches got together and decided we're going to be unified. We're going to do something in unity. What can God do through us right now? America is at a place where they're looking for an answer. You know what? Some of that might be in politics, but let me tell you something. The greater amount of the solution, the real solution comes from God. And from God's people. Let's bow our heads today. Father, I thank you, Lord. I know you're speaking to our spirits today. I know that there's such a resounding call in the spirit for us to begin to pray, come unity. Come unity. Come unity. And for us to have community. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you would give us a spirit of peace. And Lord, of light, that wherever we go and whatever we do, that we would bring light into dark places. We would have solutions that we've heard and we've found in your presence, and we bring into confusing circumstances. God, whether we've got a title on our name, or whether we're in this field, or whether we're that in that field or another field, God, it doesn't matter. You've called us all to be light and salt, Father. So I thank you, God, in these times, that you would let us have the answer that our world needs. God, stir up that answer within us. Let us be your agents of restoration and reconciliation. Let us be your hands.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.